Want to say good afternoon to everyone. Want to thank you for choosing to worship with us on this afternoon. For those that are visiting with us that may not be members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you are our VIPs, our very important persons. We're thankful to have your presence with us on this afternoon. What you have been subject to is what is referred to as New Testament worship, where we worship the Lord according to the Bible, doing those things that the Bible teaches when we assemble to worship him. The Bible teaches in the book of Acts in verse 42 and 47, the five acts of worship. The Bible reads, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And then the Bible says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. I hope today, if you're on the call tonight, you've been, this afternoon, you've been invited on the call that you would render obedience to the word of God. It's my responsibility to share with you what God has required for everyone to do in order to become a Christian, according to the Bible. And I'll share that with you at the close of my message on this afternoon. If you're with us on this morning, you worship with us. I said this morning that the message this morning was a dual message. It was a message this morning. We looked from Genesis chapter 20 and looked at from the title, In the Integrity of My Heart and the Innocency of My Hands. We talked to those, as we said this morning, that was a mirror message. And I think most of those messages that we hear, if not all, can be filed as such a mirror message, which allows us to see ourselves. And so on this morning, we talked about the spiritual person, one that has a heart that wants to obey, know the will of God, and wanting to obey the will of God. We talked about defining the word integrity as being the act of doing that which is right according to the word of God. And so we talked this morning, we looked at the subject. Several individuals, Abimelech, Abraham, and Sarah, and looked at those from an individual standpoint of how I would respond in those situations and cases. We shared that, and also the fact that one's hands, Abimelech said, were innocent in the sense that he had not been guilty of any wrong act, as it were, in the message on this morning, having not taken Sarah as his wife, not knowing that she was married to Abraham. And so we talked this morning about that. Hopefully that was an encouragement to you. And so in this afternoon, we want to, as one would say, flip the switch and look at when you have a heart that does not is not one of integrity, but a heart that the Bible referred to as wicked. And so on this afternoon, for the next few moments, we want to speak. Look, go back. We was in Genesis chapter 19 on this morning. Go back one chapter to Genesis, chapter 20 on this morning. Go back one chapter to Genesis chapter 19. And our subject title on this morning, thankful brother for reading the scripture, is Brethren, Do Not So Wickedly. So we talked this morning about a heart of integrity. This afternoon, want to look at a heart that the Bible defines as wicked and what makes up that heart. How can we as a Christian have a heart that is wicked? How do we change that heart? We'll look at as a case study from the Word of God, and then apply New Testament scriptures so we can always, when we teach the Word of God, when I try to teach the Word of God, is my intent is to take the Word of God, even looking at the scriptures that was written many, many years ago. However, we can make that scripture relevant, bring it up to 2022 so we can make application to the Word of God. So the Bible says, so we'll start at verse number one and set the scene for this text. Brethren, do not so wickedly. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And so the scene was Lot had two visitors that came to him. He saw them, he greeted them, bowed down to them, and he said in verse number two, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. So Lot invited them to come into his house and spend the night, get up early in the morning and go on your ways. And they said to him, no, we'll just stay here in the street all night. The Bible says in verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So Lot kind of pressed them, the Bible says, use the word press, and said unto them, say, no, I don't want you all to stay in the street. Come on and just stay with me tonight. Let me be a host to you. Let me show you some hospitality. And all Christians need to have a spirit of hospitality where we can open up our doors and welcome others and fellowship with them. And so the Bible says that Lot did so. He made him a feast, baked them bread, unleavened bread, and they ate. And the Bible says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So Lot had finished fellowshipping with these guys and about time to go to bed, and all of a sudden, the men of Sodom, they surrounded the house. The Bible says it wasn't just old men. Young men was with them also. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, these were men asking for other men. And the Bible records that they may know them. And the word know in this text means to have a relationship with them. However, this was a relationship of a sexual nature. They wanted to have sex. These men, young and old, wanted to have sex with these other men. The Bible says in verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Lord, Lot went out at the door, stood the door, shut it behind him. Shut it behind him. And said, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. That's my title. Brethren, do not so wickedly. But I want to share this afternoon. Sometimes when the heart is influenced by fleshly desires, it is difficult to turn. Lot tried to turn them. We'll see in the text. He said, brothers, I'm begging you. Don't do this, man. This is wicked. And the word wickedly in the text means to do evil or that which is morally wrong. Men having sex with men is morally wrong. Let us go to Romans chapter 1. And I want to also share, one can become perverted in their heart. Even Christians can become perverted in your heart. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, and I want to begin at verse number 21. Romans 1 and 21. The Bible reads, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice this sometimes. You can know God. They knew God. However, they did not honor him as God. And they became vain in their thoughts. And the Bible says their heart were foolish and became blackened. Your heart can become black if you don't recognize and honor God. Note what the Bible said. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You have those out there in this country that talks about they consider themselves to be wise and they want days to honor them and to respect them for their choices. But the Bible say they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, if you're not careful, you can be one that worship God or know God and then start worshiping and honor foolish things. Know what the Bible says about God in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. See, understand this here. You can live the life as a Christian and you stop putting God first. You know God, but you're not honoring God. You're not worshiping God. You're not giving to God. You're not serving in your congregation. You are professing yourself to be wise. You can become fools. And what the Bible says, you give God up, God will also give you up and allow you to do what's in your heart and allow you to dishonor your own self. God would do that. Note what the Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Be careful when you have people to tell you stuff that you want to hear. You're not serving God, you're serving the creature. You have to listen to the word of God. And even when Brother Stroud preaches, everything I preach can be questioned. And if you have a question, it's my responsibility to share with you in love what the word of God says based on studying the word of God. Yeah. You can change the truth of God into a lie. There are those that want you to tell them things that are not in the Bible, want you to support behaviors that they want to have that's not in the Bible. They want to change the truth of God into a lie. Not so. The Bible says, for this reason, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. See, God, when God give you up, God can let you go and allow all those degrading passions that you have inside of you to make you think you're doing that. And not just in this case, we're talking about homosexuality, but it can also be adultery. It can be fornication. You know, God will give you up and let you do what you want to do. The Bible says they change the natural use into that which is against nature. Note what the Bible says, verse 27. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat of fit. When men leave the natural use or desire for women, and men burn in their lust one for another. Let me say this also. Even though a woman has a natural use, when your desire for someone who is, if you are married, not your wife, or if you have a desire for someone sexually who is not yours, you're not married to them. That's if you are single and you are engaged in a sexual relationship, that's fornication, that's sin. And if you're married and you're going outside your married bed, that also is sin. But this sin is now labeled adultery because it's someone who's married to someone else. It's fornication, but it's someone who is married. And so again, we can leave the Word of God with these individuals there. And the Bible says in verse 28, and then we're going to go back to Genesis. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God will let you go, church, if you have a heart that does not want to serve God. God can let you go. The word reprobate is a heart that is rejected or refused by God. God refused and rejected their hearts. The Bible referred to as a reprobate mind. And note what God allowed them to do those things which are not proper, which are not fitting. Yeah, God can do that. And so back in Genesis chapter 19, let's go back there. I want to show you a New Testament example. What can happen to a heart that's wicked? And I'm saying to all of us, you have to stay in the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God and allow the Word of God to make those corrections in your life. Let the Word of God do for you in your life what needs to be done. You know, you need to allow the Word of God to influence your heart, that you will do those things that are pleasing to God. But these men, back in Genesis 19, these men, in verse number 8, Lot begged them, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now notice Lot's appeal to them. Verse 8. The Bible said, behold now, Lot is talking, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Notice what Lot did. Lot said, you have a natural use for a woman, a natural desire. Lot said, I got two daughters. Both of them have not known or had a relationship with a man. He said, let me, I pray you or beg you, I'll bring them out. I'll give both of my daughters to you, and I will allow you to do to them as is good. Notice now, in your eyes, these are wicked eyes. You can have a wicked heart. He said, only unto these men, do nothing. Don't mess with these men. Man, these men are messengers sent from God. I know that. And I'm begging you, don't touch these men. And I'm saying to all of us, your heart can get wicked that it influences you. We talked this morning in our Bible class. Thank you, Brother Tim, for the encouragement. We talked this morning when Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Yeah, you can't. You have two masters that can lead you. We said that this morning in Galatians chapter 5. I'll share that again this afternoon. When Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. No, you're going to be led by one or the other. And Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, he identified those masters. When he said in Galatians 5:16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. That's why you can't serve both of them, because they are opposite. You cannot have the Holy Spirit leading you and the flesh leading you at the same time. Know what he says? So that you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. We talked this morning. You have two masters. Nobody can serve two masters. Yeah. We talked about that this morning. I got an outward man. I got an inward man. The inward man needs the word of God. The outward man will survive on its own because it is fleshly. And so the Bible says, and they said, notice now, after he offered them his daughters, they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They're going to break the door down to get to these men. I'm telling you, when your heart gets wicked, you won't stop what you're doing, and nothing will stop you. The Bible says, but the men put forth their hand, and they pulled Lot into the house to them, and then they shut the door. But there is a God in heaven. And as I said this morning, Peter says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. God is looking down, and I want to say to all of us, no matter what your situation, no matter what your challenge, no matter how bad things may appear to be, you got a God, 3:12, that's looking down. You have a God that's watching. God, who eyes are over those. If you're doing right, God eyes. God is watching. And the Bible says, verse number 11, God intervenes. And they smoke the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And I'm telling all of us, when I'm doing wrong, that which is wrong, you can't do wrong and expect right to come from it. That's what someone can say, spiritual insanity. When I do wrong, however, I expect God to to bless me. These men were struck with blindness. The Bible says, and the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou," now these are the angels talking now, "hast thou here any beside," you got anybody else, "son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city?" He said, "Bring them out of this place. We finna show enough tear this up. We're going to tear this up from the floor up, because this whole city is wicked." And I'm saying to all of us, when you're around people that are not spiritual, or more so, they are wicked thoughts of doing bad stuff and wrong stuff, you got to take yourself, bring yourself out of that place. Let them go. Let them go. The angel said in verse 13, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord." When you do wrong, it screams still. The Lord hears that. The Bible says, "And the Lord has sent us to destroy this place." Now I'm saying that's Holland Heights, congregationally. When we do right, the Lord will bless us. When we do wrong and we don't address the wrong, how can we expect the blessings of God on the congregation? You gotta do right in the Lord. I gotta worship the Lord right, I gotta give right, I gotta study right, and I gotta be participatory in the ministry. Once, you know, those highlights, once the ministries are up and running, we talked about four ministries, I need to be participatory. I need to do what is right. I'm a servant of the Lord, and I'm going to do what is right. And so we find the conclusion to a wicked heart in Jude, verse number 7. Turn there. In Jude, the verse is number 7. Yeah. Jude. There's only the letter of Jude. Again, there's only one chapter. But in the 7th verse of Jude, the servant of Christ, the brother of James, the Bible says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves all over to fornication and going after strange flesh." Not only were they committing fornication, sinful, along with that, it is strange to God when a man seek after another man. It is strange flesh desire when a woman seeks after another woman. That's strange to God. The Bible records for all of us, those individuals are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. If repentance is not made, if behavior is not changed, if a person stays in that state and dies in that state, Jude said, you will suffer the punishment of everlasting fire. Yeah. That's what the Lord said. So, Brother Stroud, what are you saying to us? I've talked this morning about the spiritual heart, the heart of integrity. This afternoon, I want to show the opposite of that is a heart that is wicked. Yeah. And God would allow you to live on. You know, sometimes we pray that those our loved ones, our friends, they will turn around. Sometimes the prayer need to be that God will put something in their lives to make them, not necessarily make them, that would influence them to turn back to God. Yeah. When they're out there and they're doing those things that are not consistent with the Word of God, our children, our loved ones, pray to God that God will allow something in their lives that will change their lives. You know, something like the prodigal son. The Bible records for us that in Luke 15 and 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, yeah, he was out there, he would join himself, and then everything was gone. Money gone, a famine hit, and the Bible says, sometime when we're out there doing what we think we want to do, sometimes, as with the prodigal son, the Bible said he came to himself. He looked at his life and he saw the distance that he was from his father and from living a life. Then he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And here I am, I'm perishing with hunger. That ought to be the prayer for those our children, those our family members, our spouses that leave the Lord. A prayer could be have them to come to themselves and see their plight, that they turn to the Lord. Yeah. They need some adversity to enter into their lives that they can see. Because as long as they think they got things going, they got it going on, they're not going to turn to the Lord. In most cases. That's my message for this afternoon. Let me extend the invitation to those that are not Christian. One, as I said before, you become a Christian by obeying the will of God. You must understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 4, that's referred to as the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that you have to hear the gospel, Romans 1, 15 and 16. You have to hear the gospel. You have to believe that gospel. What is the gospel? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep remembering what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. How did one become a Christian? You must imitate what Christ did. Christ died. You hear the gospel, those three facts that I just gave you. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe that. You must repent of your sins, meaning you turn to God. You must confess what you believe in your heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then one culminates that obedience in water baptism. You imitate what Christ did. He died for sin. You died to sin. He was buried in a tomb. you buried in a liquid tomb is referred to in the Bible as baptism in water for the forgiveness of all your past sin, and you rise up a new creature in Christ. The Lord then, according to Acts 2:47, he will add you to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. The only church, the church of Christ. You'll become a Christian, and now you have to serve the Lord. There's someone today, someone invites you to the call, reach out to that person, have them get in contact with us, and we'll make it happen. You can become a Christian today if that is your desire. I thank you again for your patience and listening to the Word of God. Thank you very much.